Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right. What's good, everybody? What's good? It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. So the first few minutes on TikTok. You know, y'all know TikTok, where you find more booty, more butt cheeks, more breasts, more coochie prints than you could ever see on any other, that you can see on, even more so than you would see on the Playboy channel. Just starting off on TikTok. Anybody who's watching this show on TikTok right now, you can cruise over to Facebook Live, the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook Live. Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. All right. Off of TikTok now. Some of y'all know about TikTok. TikTok, I mean, somebody hit me too. Yeah, would you go on TikTok? Check out. I go on TikTok and you see more booties, more titties, more butt cracks, more coochie prints than you could ever see anywhere. I'm like, wow, okay, this isn't bad. Anyway, everybody, welcome to Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. And I wasn't going to do the show today. You know, I was like, I'm not doing the show today because I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. But I saw somebody on Facebook say that they're waiting for me to come on the air. So I said, you know what, man, I gotta suck it up and do the show today. So welcome, everybody. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Got a lot to talk about today, the Trump nonsense. You know, I'm going to get into that a little bit. Just a couple of more weeks, 2 months, I think it is, and we'll be done with Trump. All right, shout out to Lamont Curtis, who's watching the program, Jimmy Williams, my brother from another mother, who's watching the program as well. Thank you so much for checking me out. All right, so Thanksgiving has came and gone. You know, and I, you know, it's, for some of y'all, I don't know if some of y'all can identify with this, but, you know, it seems like, you know, when the mother, you know, my mother passed away some time ago. You know, and it seems like when the mother passes away, you know, the Thanksgiving get-togethers just, you know, I mean, for certain families, I guess, mine included, that when the mother passes away, it seems like the get-togethers, the Thanksgiving's just not the same anymore. You know, because I used to look forward to going to my mom's house and, you know, having a nice meal and getting together with my siblings and talking about some of the things that we did and what we went through when we were younger. But it seems like my mother passed away. You know, once my mother passed away, that all ended. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad that when the mother passes, you know, because mama is the matriarch of most families, most black families anyway. And when the mother passes away, it seems like, you know, the fun and the excitement of going over to mom's house and having a nice meal and whatnot is all over. Shout out to Steve Mayran, who's watching the program as well. So, yeah, so, I mean, the Thanksgiving was okay. You know, I had a lot of things to be thankful for. Still here, still alive, still living. You know, no COVID yet, you know. I'll get into that a little bit later on with the remedies that are coming upon us in a little while. But, yeah, so Thanksgiving was nice. You know, it was okay, but it's just not the same once your mother passes away. So those of you who still have your mama, who's still around, you know, you are fortunate, even if you got beat too much when you were little, but you're still fortunate that she's still around. Okay, everybody, it's a couple minutes past the hour. I wasn't really, you know, again, I wasn't going to do the show today. I was going to, because I don't like to be, I like to be 100% when I'm doing my show, but, like I said, I saw somebody on Facebook tell me they were waiting for me to come on. So I said, you know, I think I better go on. Anyway, so I'm waiting for this. Steve Mayran, my brother. Good to hear from you, brother. Glad you everything is well with you. So I'm waiting for this toaster oven, right? So, you know, I'm like, you don't need a toaster oven. You know, one of those air fryer things you see on TV. And, you know, I didn't get sucked in by the Emerald and some of the other people who have these toaster ovens. So I finally did find one, a Cuisinart toaster oven. You know, so I'm waiting for it to come. You know, I'm waiting because I got some toast, what do you call it, the French bread pizzas in the refrigerator, you know. So I try to put them in the microwave, and you put, If you try putting those things in the microwave, you're going to be very mistaken because it was just horrible. So I get the toaster oven, you know, and I'm bad at reading instructions. I'm bad. And, you know, I get the instructions, I toss them to the side. So that's an oven. Who doesn't know how to operate an oven? You know, so I get the toaster, the French bread pieces out of the refrigerator. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to toast these bad boys. I'm going to have me a little something before I go on the radio. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, yeah, the timer, how hot it should be, how long. Okay, fine, I'm ready to go. So I put the French bread pieces in this oven that I just bought. And I come back in the living room and I sit down, you know, to watch some more news. And I get up and go back in there and the things are toast black burned, just completely burned. And so, you know, I guess maybe I ought to read the instructions next time because, like I said, I'm bad with reading instructions because it's an oven. I mean, what do you need to figure it out for? And my French bread pieces were blacker than I am. So I wound up having to toss them. So, you know, I'm like, now I'm mad at the oven. Anyway, thank God that we're all still here. Thank you so much. Shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has spared me and all of you, if you can hear this show, so thus far from the scourge of the coronavirus that's hyped up and it's getting like, you know, it seems like the closer we get to a cure, the more people are dying, the more people are being infected, you know, and people are just not going to listen. I mean, I see some people on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms where people are getting mad at other people for not wearing their mask. There's nothing that we can do about that. People are just not going to pay attention. People are not going to pay attention. People are not going to listen. Some people just refuse to wear their mask. Shout out to Steve Mayweather, says, man, we don't need no secrets. That's right, we don't need no instructions. But I sure burnt the hell out of that pizza, though. And I was looking forward to those fresh bread pizzas. I had them in the freezer for a while. And I'm like, as soon as this toast oven comes, I'm going to make it happen. I made it happen, all right, because they got burnt. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. I appreciate you and all you do. Take time out of your busy schedule to check me out every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Here on blogtalkradio.com, WPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay. And shout out to my people at KCAA Radio in California, Loma Linda, California. There's three stations. Actually, the Ron Kelly Show is on out there and close to LA. So I appreciate all the folks who check me out. Okay, so a lot going on, you know, with this Trump nonsense. And, you know, I read something today about a General Flynn. General Flynn, I don't know if you all pay much attention to the news as I do, but General Flynn used to be the National Security Advisor. And he was caught lying twice to the FBI, and they put him in jail. So Trump pardoned him. Just the other day, earlier this week, Trump gave a pardon to General Flynn, I guess because, you know, I guess it is probably because this thing is so annoying. It's probably because anytime he gave him a pardon, it was because he knew that Flynn knew something that Trump didn't want to get out. So Trump gave him a pardon to clear him out of that. So now I read something earlier today, really scary stuff about General Flynn. Now, this is somebody who's a three-star Army general, somebody who was sworn to serve and protect the Constitution of the United States of America. And I saw something on Facebook that was really, not on Facebook, but on LinkedIn someplace, that was really disturbing. Now, General Flynn is suggesting, has a petition out. He has out a petition where he's trying to get Trump to declare martial law and to throw out the election. Now, this is some scary stuff. This is some very scary stuff. Because he's saying that the only way for us not to have another civil war is for Trump to declare martial law and to throw out the election results and declare him the winner. Now, we all know that if Trump declares martial law, and throw us out of the Constitution, there's going to be a problem. Now, hundreds of years ago, when we had the first Civil War, there was only 31 million people in the United States of America. The population of the United States of America in 1860, when the first Civil War took place, there was only 31 million people in the country. Now there's 330 million people in the country, and we've got a lot more technology now. Everybody has a gun, and you know, people have long guns and rifles and all types of stuff going on right now. So that is scary. That is scary because it's something that Trump has pulled every trick out of the book that he can, and it's not working. The judges are throwing out the challenges to the election. Trump is trying to get the election trail. He even tried to get the state legislatures to get involved to throw out the election results. I mean, this is scary, scary stuff. And I'm like, wow. You know, wow. So, you know, I'm not going to be relaxed until President-elect Biden takes the oath of office. I'm not going to be relaxed. There's too much time for Trump to do some crazy stuff. There's too much time left. So, yeah, and so I read that today, and it was really, really scary because what's going to happen if there's a civil war? It's going to be the blacks against the whites. That's what it's going to be. Because all of the elections that took place in the United States of America, the ones that Rudy Giuliani and Trump are challenging are the elections that took place in the black community. Detroit, Philadelphia, you know, Chicago, all the places where black folks voted the most, those are the places they're going after. Now, they're going after New York. You know, they're not going after New Jersey. They're doing this in the battleground states, the states, the toss-ups, you know, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, those states that were toss-ups, those are the states that Trump is challenging. Those are the states. The areas that he's challenging where the court documents are being applied to are the places where black people voted in those areas. That's where he is doing his thing, trying to get those elections thrown out. So what does that tell you about Trump? You know, see, I don't understand why black folks would even vote for Trump. I just don't get it, you know. But you can always find a black person. Like I said, you can always find a black person who's going to go against the grain and do something stupid. You're always going to find one. Back in the slavery days, who did they make the overseers? Black people. Because there was always a black person who said, hey, I ain't got to live out here with y'all. You know, I can live in the house and eat in the kitchen. I ain't got to be in here with y'all. The origins of the Willie Lynch syndrome, where the black folks who were treated well were hated by the black folks who had to sleep in the barn. And it's been going on today, and it's still going on. So, yeah, so because Trump increased his grab on the black vote this election. He had more black people vote for him than it. He was the one Republican that had more black people, and Trump of all people. Why would black people vote for Trump? And this is not like, you know, I'm not making this a race. Well, yeah, I guess I am making this a race thing, but more people voted for Trump this year than they did last time. And that's just something that boggles my mind. I really don't understand that, you know? So, wow. It's just getting crazy. So yeah, I'm gonna take a break. When I have to come back from break, I'm gonna talk about the two kids, the 16-year-old and 18-year-old, with everything that's going on with the coronavirus and the election. And some of these stories are still getting past people, but they're not getting past me. So I'm gonna talk about the Brevard County sheriffs killing these two kids. One was 18, one was 16, and this has happened just recently. This was a week or two ago that this just recently happened. So I'm gonna get into that. And when I come back from break, so I'm really struggling here because I really didn't want to do the show, but you know, I'm here. Regardless, the show must go on. Anyway, so we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Why can't he say radical Islamic terrorism? We can't worry about being politically correct. We just can't afford anymore to be so politically correct.
I was very, very strong about solving a very deep-seated problem that we have in this country and throughout the world, and that's radical Islamic terrorism. It's a
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is the guy who has the button, you know. This, every president travels around with the button, you know. They have a little suitcase. That's what they call it. It's a black bag or whatever, a suitcase, with the nuclear codes inside of it. Because anytime a president goes anywhere, there's one armed forces officer who carries that bag. And with inside that bag is the nuclear codes to launch against another country. And the president has that with him at all times when he's traveling. Somebody carries it back. So this is the person with the button. This is the guy with the button that we've been dealing with for 4 years. And, you know, you just have to, and I just was praying, you know, welcome back, everybody, to Ron Kelly Show. And I was just praying that he wouldn't do anything stupid. Okay. So two kids. This happened in Florida. Two kids. A.J. Crooms and... A.J. Crooms and another kid, Sincere. A.J. Crooms and Sincere Pierce. Two kids, 116, 118. We're in a stolen car. Well, they weren't in a stolen car. We don't know if it was a stolen car. The police were investigating. The police were investigating these two kids. Well, actually, I think the first sheriff's deputy tried to catch him, but wasn't able to catch him. So I guess the kids went home. And so the police told them to stop the car. And they jumped, they backed the car out of the driveway. The police had their guns trained on them. So the kids started driving away slow, very slow. They were driving away from the police. They didn't listen to the police commands. And the police opened fire on these two kids, killed them both. Now, they took them to the hospital, but they were gone because they lit them up with, you know, with 10, 12 rounds from a Glock 17. I own a Glock 17, and I know how powerful it is. It goes through car doors and everything else. So walls, whatever the case may be, very powerful weapon. And these two kids were killed by the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. Two Brevard County Sheriff's officers. One on the job since 2017. And Deputy Santiago Miranda and Carson Hendren were two police officers. One Hispanic, one white. And they opened their guns up on these two young boys, 116, 118. Now, and, you know, and this is, you know, I don't even know if President-elect Joe Biden is going to be able to stop this, you know. Now, they released, y'all got to forgive me today because I'm really struggling. They released the body footage, the body cam footage. They did release it, and it shows the two kids driving away and the police opening up on these two kids. Now they show this. Okay. And now I just don't get why they had to shoot these kids, two black kids, 116, 118. Now the statement from the police was, the Brevard County Sheriff's Department, was that one cop fired, Now, one cop wasn't in any danger at all. They said the one cop fired at the kids because he thought that he would be ran over by the car. Now, the car wasn't even speeding. The car, they were driving the car very slow. Now, I'm not saying that the kids shouldn't have stopped. Yeah, they should have stopped. And black people should always stop when there's when the police shoot a command at them. They should always stop because you know we're going to get killed. And they didn't stop. And there was no reason at all why these kids were killed. There was no reason whatsoever. I just don't get it, you know. And see, this is something that happens so much that it's just people are getting used to it. You know, black folks are getting used to it. A lot of black people probably didn't even know about this, but black folks are getting used to our people being killed by police officers. It's like voter apathy. Like, oh, what am I going to vote for? You know, I'm never going to get what I want. Never gonna pay attention to me. And the same thing is happening with police shootings of unarmed black men, kids in this case. So they're saying that they found two guns in the car. And okay, even if they did find two guns in the car, did either one of those kids have a gun in their hand? Neither one of the police officers are saying that they did. So you have to just imagine that they did. You know, shout out to Shaw Williams who joined the program. You know, so these two kids, 116, 118, were killed by Brevard County Sheriff's deputies in Florida. Just, I mean, for a stolen car. I mean, for a stolen car, they were killed. It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So, of course, Ben Crump has descended down on the situation. And I'm not the biggest fan of Ben Crump. I'm not a fan of Ben Crump's. I'm not going to say I don't like him, but I'm not the biggest fan of Ben Crump because Ben Crump takes all the high-profile murders of black folks. You know, and Ben Crump is a millionaire because of this stuff. Ben Crump is a millionaire. Now, I'm not a hater. You know, I'm not a hater. I'm not hating on the man. You know, he's making his money and he's doing his thing. But Ben Crump, to me, is not a civil rights lawyer. Ben Crump is an opportunist to me. He's an opportunist. He's making money. He's getting a percentage. Is he doing it for free? No. Like Dr. Martin Luther King, when Dr. Martin Luther King went around, as a matter of fact, when Dr. Martin Luther King went around trying to defend the helpless and the powerless, he didn't take money for that. As a matter of fact, when Dr. Martin Luther King got killed, he was in Memphis trying to help out the sanitation workers. Because the sanitation workers, the black sanitation workers, were getting jammed. They were always on the back of the truck. And the white drivers, the white people were always the drivers. And they weren't paying the sanitation workers anything in Memphis back in the day. Back in 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King was killed. So Dr. Martin Luther King was in Memphis trying to help somebody else out when he got killed. So I'm not the biggest fan of Ben Crump and all his nonsense. Because Ben Crump is helping himself. He's always there, Johnny on the spot, in the high-profile cases where there's sure to be a settlement. Ben Crump is there. Now, I'm not hating on the man, you know, but I'm not the biggest fan of Ben Crump. Anyway, so Ben Crump is the lawyer for those people. Now, Ben Crump was a lawyer for the young lady who got shot in Houston. He was the lawyer for the Minnesota situation, Minneapolis. And he's been the lawyer for lots of people, the high-profile cases. So I'm not the biggest fan of Ben Crump. But anyway, so the two police officers have been taken off duty, get paid. So how would I get paid when I do something wrong? You know, hey, go home until we settle this. Get your check every week. You know, I do something wrong, I get fired. I'm not getting paid. You know, but these people, this is what usually happens. They go on administrative leave. You know, some allowed to do work inside the precinct. Some are not, depending on what happened. These two probably will not be. They'll just be home, you know. And even if they get fired, they can get a job somewhere else. So this is the kind of thing that happens when police officers shoot people, black people, and they usually wind up getting away with it. So did you see Giuliani with his stuff running out of his head? It's just for men. Should use just for men. Anyway, there's none in this head, but I'm just saying. This nonsense is still going on with Donald Trump going around trying to get this election overturned. And the people are right down with, see, the people are so stupid, you know, the Trump followers are just stupid. I'm going to say that here on the radio. And I know there's Trump followers who listen to this show. I've talked to a couple of them who do listen to the Ron Kelly show, even though they're Trump supporters. But y'all are just stupid because Trump has collected about $170 million in donations since the election was over. Election's been over, what, a couple weeks? 2 or 3 weeks? And that money he's using for himself and to file these ludicrous claims that the election was rigged. It's just unbelievable. Just completely unbelievable. And so like I said earlier, I did see, if you didn't hear me, I did see where General Flynn is trying to pass around a document trying to get people to push Trump to declare martial law. That's scary. I'm going to tell you, that's scary. For Trump, okay. This thing's not following me. If Trump declares martial law, that means the election is out the door. And do you really think that the 80 million people who voted for Joe Biden are just going to sit back and take that? It's going to be anarchy in the streets. And what's going to happen is that people are going to start fighting. It's going to be black against white. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be black against white. If there's another civil war here in the United States of America, it's going to be black against white. Shout out to Wendy McKnight, my brother. So if there's another civil war that takes place in this country, it's going to be black folks against white folks. But that's it. Because the Trump supporters who are advocating for the overthrow of the government, basically, are blaming the black voters for Trump's loss. Even though there was a stray black folks who did vote for Trump. Detroit, Philadelphia, those are the places that they're going after in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. These are the places where Trump are filing his lawsuits, in the areas where black folks live. He didn't file lawsuits in areas that he won. He didn't file only in the battleground states, the ones he thinks he should have won. Those are the ones that he's filing these ludicrous lawsuits against. So, I mean, there's some things I'm not allowed to say on radio, so I won't. But shout out to Rodney Hill for joining the program. But this is crazy. I mean, you have a four-star general, a three-star general General Michael Flynn, used to be the National Security Advisor, who is advocating for Trump to declare martial law. And Trump can declare martial law. Don't get it twisted. He could. Trump could declare martial law. And if he does, this is going to be a big problem. You have to batten down the hatches, gather up your stuff. I mean, like I said, I can't say it on the radio, but because I don't want to get sanctioned and all of that stuff, because you get fined for saying stuff these days when you're on the radio, Facebook Live or whatever. So, yeah, but it's going to be crazy. Martial law, throw the Constitution out the window. That's basically what they want to do. So people better pay attention. Black folks better pay attention, because if white folks get busy out here and start running around, you know who they're coming after? Us. They're coming after us. because it was the black folks, the black women who catapulted Joe Biden to victory. Black women, black folks, 80%, 90% in some cases, the other 10%, the crazy black folks voted for Trump, which I just never understand. Why would anybody black vote for Trump? And I'm not talking about black or white. I'm just talking about, you know, I mean, you had to, I mean, I remember seeing the video of these black ministers, notable black ministers, not anybody I particularly know, in this office. They're in at the table with Trump, and they're saying Trump has done more for black people. Trump has done more for black people. It's just mind-boggling that anybody who's black would stand up there and say Trump is a shout out to Dex. Dex, what's good? Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, my church sister. Who would? I can't understand why whose skin is like this would vote for Trump. It's just unbelievable. Trump doesn't have black folks' best interests at heart. And I'm not trying to make this a black and white thing, because a lot of white folks watch this show. A lot of white folks, I have an equal amount of white, there's thousands of people who listen to this program. Sorry, y'all, I'm not 100% tonight. I'm struggling through because I want to keep things going. The thousands of people, white folks, who listen to and watch, mostly listen to the Ron Kelly Show. But Trump, you know, he even said, I saved suburbia. How did I do that? When Barack Obama was president, Barack Obama made a law. I don't know if it was a directive or a executive order, but Barack Obama made a law that these towns like Allendale and some of the places where no presentable white folks live, Westwood, Oradell, I'm talking about New Jersey. I'm not sure what's going on in other states. I'm talking about New Jersey, where the Ron Kelly Show originates from. So Barack Obama made a law that these people were obligated, these towns that mostly kept black people out. But Barack Obama changed the law that said that these people are supposed to have a certain amount of units, a certain amount of apartments for low-income families. That was Barack Obama's law. So what happened was those towns started giving their money away. They were given a certain amount of money, and they were told, you got to build a certain amount of units for low-income people. So these towns, Allendale, Westwood, Ridgewood, you know, Glen Rock, some of these places, what they did was they started giving their money away. And they were allowed to give their money away. So the money that they received to build low-income housing, they gave it to somebody else. They gave it to Hackensack. They gave it to Bloomfield. They gave it to Montclair. Maybe not Montclair. But they started giving their money away. So what Trump did was Trump repealed that law where affluent white neighborhoods and towns were no longer required to build low-income housing. I'm like an Italian now with all this. So, and Trump touted that. He touted that. The dog whistle thing they call it. I saved you because now no low-income people can live in your neighborhood. I think it's just shout out to Gil Maestro Jr. I'm going to have a cigar with you one day, buddy. Congratulations on everything else. We'll talk about it. All right, my brother. Good to hear from you, man. I'm gonna make it down to Tom's River. I'm going to make it down there. I promise you I'm going to make it down there. We're going to have a sit down. My good buddy, Gil Maestro Jr. And Aaron, his son. Good kid. So, yeah. So, this is what happened. You know. Now, I'm not going to say like I got a light bulb, a lot of white folks, but I do, because I don't judge people on the color of their skin. You know, I sit, you know, we go to cigar bar and I would sit there, and sometimes I'd be the only black person there. But I was never mistreated or talked down to or anything like that. Good people. So I don't look at everybody with the same, I don't paint everybody with the same brush. Good people like Gil Maestro. good guy, good guy. Gil and Dominic and some of the other guys I used to sit with at Cigar Bar before COVID. So I can't understand it. But anyway, Trump lost, and he's having a real problem accepting that he lost. And, you know, and me personally, I don't dislike everything that Trump did. There were some things that Trump did that I liked. I mean, I don't like how he did it, but for example, I'll get to it. There's some things that Trump did that I liked. With the coalition, you know, there were some countries that weren't paying their fair share. There were some countries that weren't paying their fair share with NATO. There were some countries that weren't paying their fair share. And he's right that America's been for years. China, you know, every time you turn around, everything you can find anything in your house, look at that, oh, made in China. You know, and people have been getting paid off of it. So he's right about that. He was right about China hosing us for all these years. He was right about NATO, the people in NATO not paying their fair share. The United States paying billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to protect these countries. Now, was it in our best interest to protect some of these countries? Yeah, it was. It was in our best interest to protect some of these countries. Yeah, it was. It was in our best interest to have bases in some places where, you know, where the people don't actually like us. Yeah. Say it again for the people in the back. Come, Bunny McKnight. Love you, brother. Yeah. So, you know, as far as immigration, you see, and when it comes to immigration, like I was down with him on that too. Not the way he did it, but I was down with that too. See, because let me tell you something. The Hispanics who live in this country, who are established at businesses, they don't care about the other ones that standing at the wall. They don't care about them. You know, Hispanic people who are here, who are citizens, who are in this country, who are living off the fruits of America, they don't care about the people who are down in on the Texas border. They don't care about them. They voted for Trump. After Trump said Mexicans were rapists and child molesters and all of this stuff, they still voted for Trump anyway. So there was some Hispanics who voted for Trump who didn't give a damn about the other people who couldn't get into this country. They didn't care. They were like, whatever. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says NATO isn't just the U.S. protecting others. It's a pact that says those countries are allied with the U.S. as well, especially during war. Lamont Gates, my good brother. Israel. I always talked about, you know, nothing against Israel. Nothing against Israel. But now, who's going to help us if something goes down? Who has the technology? Who has the manpower? I mean, the Ukraine can't help us. Poland, Slovenia, Latvia, those countries, they can't do nothing for us. The only thing they can do for us is let us, you know, we can have a base there and we can get to these other countries. If it's a ground war, we can get to these other countries quick. But these people can't help us, Lamont. You know, these countries that we're protecting that are right on the Russian border. You know, thank God the Russia didn't go in there and try to take them out, because now we got to go in there and we got to take Russia out. You know, so that's a danger of NATO. But these countries can't help us. United States of America, who has as much as we have? Nobody. Not even Russia. The only threat Russia is to the United States of America is their nuclear weapons. That's Russia, because the ground game, Russia would lose. If there were no nuclear weapons, the United States and Russia went to war, Russia would lose. The United States has the most, Russia has one, Lamont Gates, Russia has one aircraft carrier, and it's about 50 years old. That's it. We got a whole fleet of them. Russia only has one. One old, rusty aircraft carrier they can barely launch a plane off of. That's all they got. So they can't help us. I mean, they can't hurt us, but they got nuclear weapons, and they can hurt us. You know, no, I know they're not an ally, Lamont Gates. I know they're not an ally. But our allies can't help us. What are they going to do? If somebody comes to the United States and comes on shore and attacks us, there's nothing that Bosnia, Herzegovina, there's nothing they can do. What are they going to do? By the time they get here, they don't have the technology. They got we're the only country in the world that has aircraft carriers. Nobody else has them. But us, because they cost billions of dollars, and nobody else has that kind of money. Nobody else has Russia's submarines are 50 years old. They helped us. They sent little, we took the brunt of that though, Lamont. Yeah, Lamont Gates says they helped us thoroughly in Iraq and Afghanistan throughout. But they sent contingents. They sent 1,000 troops, 2,000 troops. We sent 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. We have hundreds of thousands of troops all over the country. Why do you think North Korea and South Korea haven't gone to war? Because there's a contingent of about 20,000 American troops in the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. So North Korea don't dare go into South Korea while we're sitting there. They won't even think about it. So we have troops all over the country, all over the world, that are stopping other countries from going at each other. Troops in Germany, troops in Italy, troops in France, troops in the United Kingdom. We have troops everywhere. Troops in South Korea. And all of that costs money. So I was down with Trump on that. So everything he said, I wasn't totally against how he did it. Yes, I was completely against it. But I wasn't against everything that Trump proposed. He just had a drunken sailor way of doing things. Okay, what we'll do, we'll take one more quick break. He has about 17 minutes left to the program. Take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk some more. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person, but he had a big heart, and he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, the Civil War, you think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Why? Because the Democrats wanted slavery. The Democrats. So that's something you have to give. Shout out to my good friend. I won't mention her name right now. But the Civil War, the Democrats wanted to go to war. There's one thing that people really don't understand. Now, that doesn't necessitate voting for Trump, but back in the day, it was the Democrats who wanted to keep the slaves slaves. It was the Republicans, but the abolitionists, the Republicans. But back in the day, the Democrats wanted us to stay slaves. That's why people kind of what? Yeah, the Democrats back in the day wanted slavery. the Republicans wanted to end slavery. The Republicans, the same Republicans, Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and some of the other ones that we hate these days. Now, of course, it wasn't them, but yeah, the Republicans wanted to stop slavery, not the Democrats. Now, you think about it, it's like, how did the Republicans, how did the Democrats get into the position they are in now, where they get majority of black vote, when it was Republicans who tried to stop slavery, and it was Democrats who wanted to keep slave trade going? Democrats. And that's one thing. I mean, so over the years, and I love Lamont Gates, man. Lamont Gates is a very smart dude, along with the rest of my audience. Lamont Gates says Dems up to 1960 were conservatives. Republicans were liberals. The ideologies flipped in the 60s. It's a mistake to align the current Dems. Of course, and I didn't. And I did not. And I apologize if that's the way you took it. I apologize for that. But the Democrats back in the day were slave owners. They fought and died to keep slavery going. The Republicans fought and died to stop slavery. But you're right. It was around about the 1960s. That's when the ideologies got flipped. You see, because the Democrats, they said, you know what? Let's give these people stuff. Let's give them stuff. You know, that's when back in the 60s, that's when welfare and all that kind of stuff flourished in the black community. I mean, they didn't have the TRA and all the stuff they have today. But it was at that time that slavery, I mean, not slavery, but when the Democrats started giving people stuff, started giving black folks stuff, welfare and WIC and this and that and the other, because the Democrats bought black folks' loyalty back in the day. That's when they started building back in the 60s, that's when they started building the housing projects. Shout out to Gil Carnegie, affirmative action. Yeah. So the Democrats, and I have some Democrats. I had one here last week, a Southern woman, Shabana Sumter. I love to death. Smart lady. Should have been the governor. So I'm not blaming her per se. But back in the 60s, because I don't think she was born at that time. But back in the 60s, that's when the Democrats decided they're going to start giving black folks stuff. Welfare. Housing projects. Free, you know, affirmative action. Thanks, shout to Gil Carnegie. Thank you for that. Section 8. That's when that stuff started flourishing around it. And that Lamont Gates is when the black folks did, their allegiance did flip to the Democrats, because the Democrats started giving us stuff. Because you look at any cornerstone, any of these high rise, they're tearing them down now. But back in the 50s and 60s, that's when this stuff started. With these housing projects, putting all the black people in one spot, you know. I mean, I know at one time white folks did live in the projects, but it was overwhelmed by black folks, so they finally moved. But yeah, but black, white folks, the Democrats started giving us stuff. Welfare, Section 8, affirmative action, WIC, you know, all these things. WIC was founded by the Black Panthers. Where did you get that from, Gail Carnegie? That WIC was founded by... No. Unbelievable. The WIC, I don't know if... See, because WIC is a government program. So I don't believe that WIC was... It's a government program. It's government funded. Now, I don't know why would the Black Panthers? They were. Lamont Gates. They were. Lamont Gates says those things were given to poor white people as well. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. I invited some Trumpsters to call into the Ron Kelly Show, and they chickened out, which I knew they would, because they like to stay behind the scenes on LinkedIn and some of these other places where they can hide. Most of them don't even have their pictures up there or who they really are. So I knew that they were going to chicken out, not show up. But anyway, I mean, it was just a random invite. I mean, I wasn't really dependent on him to show up anyway. But, yeah, somebody said, so, but that's what, and now I'm not saying that Democrats who did this on purpose or they had some nefarious reason why they wanted to do this. But this is what happened. When they started giving black folks stuff, back in the 50s and 60s, black folks, you know, if you look at the cornerstone of some of these high-rise, the ones that are still standing, and you'll see it says built in 1954, built in 1960, built in 1965. A lot of these projects were built during that time. A lot of them. And then it comes WIC and welfare and Section 8 and TRA and all of these things. The Republicans don't want to give you nothing. The Republicans don't want to give you nothing. They want everybody to get your, you, I got mine, you get yours. But it's Democrats who are advocating for all this stuff. And I'm not saying that they have some nefarious reason for doing it, but because people do need help. And you're right, Lamont Gates, that white people do take advantage of it. Well, I don't see as many white people on WIC as I see black people, maybe because I'm not in the right area. And I'm not saying we do it more than they do it, but because of the economic divide, because of the divide between the rich and the poor, this is why you see more black folks in need of assistance than white folks. Now, Jared, you're right. Yeah, I said, Lamont, I don't live in the Midwest. And you're right, Lamont Gates. You're right. They probably lined up like, you know, because there are no black people in the Midwest. So, you know, who's using it? Now, I'm not saying it's because of the situation in this country. It's because of the economic divide in the United States of America. Why? Unless you can bounce a ball or rap or sing, you know, you're going to have a problem. So, and that's why. So I'm not saying there's some ongoing nefarious reason why, but black folks, because of the economic divide, black folks find themselves in need more than white folks because of the economic divide. You know, that's it. About 7 minutes left of the program. So let's not forget Sincere and AJ. Sincere Pierce and AJ Crooms, 18 and 16, who were blown away by these two Florida deputies. You know, in Florida, which I'm planning, maybe I'll go next month. I'm thinking about going down there for my vacation, get some sun. And the governor of Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is pushing for a new law. You know, Florida, where Trayvon Martin was killed at the hands of this heinous creature, and stand your ground law. So Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is trying to enhance the stand your ground law. How? If you own a business and somebody's breaking into your business, shout out to Rosalind Christie who just joined the program. It's 6 minutes left to go. But anyway, better late than never. But if Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is trying to enhance their stand your ground law, you know, this is the law that George Zimmerman, creep, who killed Trayvon Martin, who was just going to the store. This is the law that got him off. And Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is trying to enhance that law by giving shop owners, store owners, business owners the right to kill whoever is breaking into their store. Just straight up kill them. It's unbelievable. So if this law passes, which it probably will, because the governor is a Republican, if this law passes, that'll mean that people who own businesses, let's say something happens on there, somebody gets shot and people will start robbing, which I don't advocate. I don't advocate robbing people, breaking into their in places of business that they work hard for all their lives. No, I don't advocate that at all. I think it's wrong. I don't think that looting and robbing has anything to do with what happened. But Governor Ron DeSantis is trying to enhance the standing ground law to allow business owners to kill anybody who's breaking into their business. Kill. That's what they say, but I don't necessarily believe that. But Gail Carnegie says Zimmerman sold a gun he used for $250,000. Who would buy it? And who would want somebody to know? I mean, that's like buying the skeleton of somebody, one of a serial killers. That's like buying the skeleton of a serial killer. I mean, for what? What purpose is it going to serve? Anyway, yeah, so yeah, Gail Carnegie says the Zimmerman soul is going to. I heard that. I didn't research it, but I did hear it. The Klan. Well, maybe. Maybe they're planning to use it on someone else. So everybody, keep your eyes open, please. About 3 minutes left to the program. Keep your eyes open. Keep, you know, you don't have to watch all the news, but be aware. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And I see, you know, I mean, yeah, it's fine to put your plate of food on Facebook and put your feet while you're smoking a cigar and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's all fine and dandy. But be aware. Because there's stuff going on behind the scenes. This Trump thing is not over yet, you know. Somebody somewhere is planning and plotting. Trust me. And it's a grace period right now. Somebody is going to do something. Like I said, this three-star general is passing around a petition trying to get Trump to declare martial law. And Trump is crazy enough to do it. And if he does, there's going to be hell out here. So everybody pay attention. Do pay attention. Watch 5 minutes of the news. I mean, I know it's annoying. I take breaks from the news. But I just stop watching for a couple of days. Because the coronavirus, death. You know, you're tired of hearing it. You know, even me. So, yeah. So, you know, do pay attention to what's going on in this country right now. Because this Biden thing, you know, is not over. I'm not saying that Trump is going to be able to overturn the election. But if he declares martial law, there's going to be a problem out here. You know, if I have to come out every day conditioned, and I can't say certain things over radio, but yeah, it's going to be bad. So everybody pay attention. Pray for America, because we definitely need it right now, you know, with all that's going on. So anyway, everybody, well, thank you so much for joining me. I was a little bit off today. I apologize. I'm not my usual self today, because I'm a little off, you know, this change in weather. And that's what gets me every year, especially this year. Because it hasn't really been, like, freezing cold yet. And we're in December already, and it hasn't been cold. But, you know, some days it's 60 degrees, some days it's 40. When I come out to go to work, it's 37. By the time I get off work, it's 60. You know, and that gets me every year, the changing of the weather. But I'm okay, doing all right. No COVID so far, you know, trying to navigate my way through this thing. The vaccines are on the way, and you know, if Obama can take it, I'll take it too. You know what I'm saying? Well, Trump has nothing to do with it. Anyway, 66 left to the program, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me this evening. I really appreciate each and every one of you who partake of the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. I'm back here next Thursday with another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, I like to say it's nice to be important, but it's much more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Why does it look like I'm staring at something else? I'm looking at the. I'm using this new thing now. I don't know. It's not. I'm using this new. I'm not using my phone anymore to broadcast the show. Thank the Lord, right? So, yeah, so all right, let me 30 seconds left. Let me get out of here. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. Nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. We may not have it all. We can certainly have it all. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. I'll see you back here next Thursday. Everybody be well, and we'll see you then. And I guess I'm done.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who
Mm-hmm.